What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
8:16 now. Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL contributor and Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Tough day for, boy, if you've seen Hard Knocks, it's just so uncomfortable, and it hurts you in a way to see a player cut, because I don't know about you, but I've been cut from teams before, and it just hurts. It's like, you know, okay, we gave you a chance, but you're just not good enough, and you can hopefully have another chance or hopefully work harder or find something else to do. Tell me any notable cuts so far?
Yeah, so this year the Saints, you know, I don't know if it's a Kellen Moore thing, if they decided to move things up, but they made 14 cuts yesterday. Mm-hmm. You got to make 37 total. It's a lot of cuts. You know, in the past they would have had like, you know, cut down to 80 here, cut down to 70 here. Now you just do it all at the end. So it's a lot. It's kind of a bloodbath to if you want to use kind of a graphic term. Like, it's a third of the roster that's been with you throughout camp is suddenly gone. And so they moved on from 14 players yesterday. And I think that's smart because, you know, there are difficult decisions. You know, there's no easy cuts, but there are, you know, simpler decisions. And there are typically going to be a dozen to 14 players that you can kind of be like, all right, let's get this out of the way. I wouldn't say there are any major cuts. We do have a list up at WWL.com. We have a tracker going if you want to follow along there. You know, Cam Akers, the veteran running back, is probably the biggest name on that list. They also cut James Burnup, who, you know, was one of the two players in the punter battle. So that kind of tells you, hey, Kai Kroger is going to be your punter.
I wanted to ask you about that, because punters are not important until you need them, right? When they punter, you need them to kick the ball deep. Now, I'm serious about this.
Yeah.
So this guy's a rookie as well, correct?
Yeah, so both players that were in the competition were rookies, because the returning punter from last year, Matthew Hayball, was cut earlier in camp. It's going to be the third consecutive season they've gone with a rookie punter, which, I don't know, personally I find kind of annoying. I think, like, you look at Blake Groupie, for example, he looks like a completely different player than he did in year one. It's because he's a third-year player. He's confident. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a certain level of, hey, why not just hang on to a punter for 2 years and see if he can improve year over year? That's not what they're doing. They're sticking with the UDFA route. And so, yeah, Kai Kroger, who's a guy who started camp with the Jets, got cut. Saints picked him up. He was at South Carolina last year. I wouldn't say that he had a particularly impressive camp, but he was ahead. And you could tell because he was holding for Blake Groupie's kicks. He was the first guy off the bench. They only punted one time against the Broncos, which I'm sure if I'm James Burnup, I'm kind of annoyed about, because I didn't even get a chance to, you know, to really compete.
You know what you just said there, holding for Blake Groupie, that might have been a difference maker, because if Blake is comfortable with him and Blake is just on fire, right? So why fool with that?
Yeah, it's the one part of punting that no one ever really talks about, which is, hey, you know, because you see kickers miss kicks, and everyone always talks about, wow, the kicker missed. They never talk about, oh, was the hold good? You know, was the operation good?
Well, and it goes back to,
it's not, right?
It goes back to what you said about being comfortable, about Blake Groupie confident and comfortable, and the holder's got a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is more of a continuity thing. Like, I think most people could go out there and hold. I think you, if you practiced enough, could go out there and hold for a kick, right?
Nope.
No, you don't think so?
No hand-eye coordination, Jeff. Sorry, can't do it.
I'll get to know. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind if we ever get in that situation.
Yeah, please do that. No hand-eye coordination at all, but that's why you want to bet me when we play golf. All right, let me take a break. We come back. We'll talk about running back and quarterback, because it is an interesting situation at running back, and also quarterback. I think we kind of know what's going to happen, but we'll see. Jeff Nowak, our guest, WWL Saints sideline reporter and WWL contributor, 820 traffic now on WWL. At 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, cut down day. 3 o'clock is when the final cuts come in. Devin Neal tweeting, or Xing, however you want to say it, that the NFL, a crazy place. Let's talk about the Saints running back position. You know Alvin Kamara's going to be there. Take me from there.
Yeah, so I think it was actually Cam Akers that tweeted that.
Who did what I say?
Devin Neal's the
rookie. No, Cam Akers tweeted that. You're right. Thank you, Jeff. I was more concerned with X and Twitter than I was the player.
I would have been concerned if Devin Neal was tweeting that, because I think Devin Neal did enough. You know, he was a tough guy to project. You know, I put out my final roster projection before the final preseason game, which isn't necessarily fair, but I just think that's, you know, I don't think a ton gets changed in the final preseason game. I think there's a few roster spots that maybe change, but Devin's case is one that I think, you know, he probably did need to go out there and show something, just because he's been hurt. He got hurt in the final, or the first scrimmage the Saints had, that one they had where they ran 126 plays. He picked up a hamstring injury, kept him out a couple weeks. He wasn't able to get into either of the first two preseason games. He wasn't able to get into the joint practice with the Rams. So this is really the first chance you got to see him out there in a competitive setting. And I thought he looked good.
Kendre Miller. I just want to move you along here, because I don't want to lose time. Kendre Miller's in a doghouse with Dennis Allen, who ain't Dan no more. So tell me his story, his situation.
Yeah, he's healthy. You know, he's been consistent. That's what Kellen Moore has talked about. You know, they wanted to get him out there and just have him be productive. And that's what he was. It was an interesting situation, because they had Alvin Kamara active for the final preseason game. He went in for the first snap. He wasn't even wearing the tape on the back of his arm, so he knew he wasn't going to be in there very long, and that ended up being his only snap. He came out immediately, and it was Kendre Miller, and that's kind of been what we've seen. He's kind of locked in my opinion, to that RB2 spot, and so I'm excited. I'm excited for him to get into a regular season healthy. It's the first training camp that he's gotten through without any injury issues.
How many do they keep, Jeff?
I think they keep four. I think they keep Alvin, obviously, Kendre, and then I would say Devin Neal. And the final question is Velus Jones versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
And does that come down to special teams?
Yes, I think it does, in the speed. I think Velus just has that 4.31, 4.32 speed that is hard to replicate at the running back position. And he
ain't nothing beat speed. You know that. Ain't nothing beat speed, as long as you can hang on to football. Let's talk quarterback. How do you see that playing out?
Well, I mean, I think you're keeping all three. I think Jay Kaner's going to stick around on the roster. Yeah, I think people underestimate the value of that third quarterback until you get one quarterback injury and suddenly he's your backup and you want a guy that knows your offense. He can be active on game days in the sense of you can have that emergency third quarterback, so it just makes sense to keep him. I still think it's Rattler. You know, Kellen might surprise us. I would be surprised if we hear an announcement today. I think today's about the cuts. Tomorrow will be about the quarterback, and then you're going to move into Arizona. But yeah, I think it's Rattler, and then Shuck will probably play this season based on how things go.
I wouldn't even announce a starter. Why?
Yeah, I mean,
keep guessing, Arizona. Keep guessing. We're going to give them both reps.
Stop asking questions. That's what it is.
Tell me about a surprise name we might hear today being cut.
Oh, that's a tough one. Probably Isaiah Foskey. I don't know how much of a surprise it is, but it's rare to see a second round pick get cut on his rookie deal. So that's what I'll go with.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. A pleasure as always. We'll talk to you again soon. Jeff Nowak, WWL contributor, Saints sideline reporter. Didn't mean to rush you along, but I wanted to get all the information in. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist, about what it was like during Katrina and how hurricane forecasting has changed since then. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 8:45, quarter till 9. We continue to spend the week reflecting on Katrina on this 20th anniversary. Barry Keim joins us, LSU health climatologist, to talk about it was like to be the state climatologist during Katrina and how hurricane forecasting has changed since then. He's our friend. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Good to be with you.
You know, I was saying before you came on that, okay, you want to be a meteorologist. All right, you got it. Here we go. Hurricane out in the Gulf. Is it coming here or not? Do we evacuate or not? Do I close my business or not? What do we do? Up to you. But God forbid you're wrong, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We get basically all of the blame and very little of the credit. I mean, I say that partly kidding, but nevertheless.
Well, I think it's right. I don't think anybody ever remembers when you get the forecast right. But God forbid you get it wrong. Look out. We're 50% wrong. Let's talk about Katrina. You take me back to, you're the state climatologist. Friday, you're watching this thing. That's when I think it first made a turn or maybe seemed like it was heading this way.
Well, yes. So I was teaching class on Thursday. I remember telling my students, you know, Tuesday, Thursday class, it's like, yeah, this storm, it's going to hit Florida. It's Florida's problem. It's going to hit the panhandle. Mm-hmm. I'll see y'all next week. Well, needless to say, that didn't happen exactly. Mm-hmm. So what basically happened, though, is the Hurricane Center did have the storm crossing over Florida and making a landfall up in the panhandle of Florida, and we really thought we were going to be okay. That forecast kind of held going into Friday. As the day went on Friday, the track kept kind of shifting a little bit further to the west. And it wasn't until Friday night at the 10 o'clock Central Time, 10 p.m. advisory, did they put the track coming right over Plaquemines and St. Bernard Parish and crushing New Orleans and the Mississippi coast.
What changed, Barry, climate-wise or from a meteorological standpoint, what changed that shifted the hurricane over?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously when they're doing those forecasts, they're running all sorts of models. There's millions, even billions of equations in these models, mm-hmm. with all these systems kind of interacting with each other. And I mean, you know, we're talking about a very small shift, really. I mean, from the Florida Panhandle to New Orleans, I know it's a big shift in terms of the impacts, but in terms of the modeling, I mean, that's a relatively small shift. And so the dynamics were such that the storm just got shoved a little further westward, and all hell broke loose, obviously. So.
And to be clear, Katrina crossed southern Plaquemines and then hit Mississippi, but missed the city. It was the levee failures that did the city in, right?
Oh, absolutely. So the storm actually made landfall at Burris. Mm-hmm. It crossed over kind of the central part of St. Bernard Parish, you know, crossed over Lake Bourne, and then made landfall pretty much right near the Pearl River, between Louisiana and Mississippi. But keep in mind, you know, the right-hand side of the storm mm-hmm. is where the biggest surge comes in, where the highest winds are. We were, believe it or not, on the weak side of the storm. Thank goodness. Otherwise, it would have been a whole lot worse here. But, you know, Mississippi had that 28-foot storm surge on the coastline. So, and that's the biggest surge we have on record in the Gulf of Mexico anywhere.
Was Katrina the biggest? Somebody told me the other day that it was so big it wouldn't even fit on a TV screen. And that's when they knew it was time to evacuate. Was Katrina the biggest storm ever? Hurricane?
No. That title probably belongs, now I'm blanking on the storm here, the one that hit up on the East Coast. It was only a Category
Sandy?
1. Sandy, yes, okay. Exactly. Sandy was enormous in terms of its spatial.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dimensions. Katrina wasn't small by any stretch, but give you some idea, the eye of Hurricane Katrina was about the size of Lake Pontchartrain, like 40 miles across. Mm-hmm. So it had a very large, very incredibly well-defined eye, because it really was kind of a perfect storm. And I can give you a little history of it. The storm formed over the Bahamas.
You're reading ahead, Barry. That was my next question. Go ahead.
It formed over the Bahamas, took a very, very slow track over Florida. It was only a Category 1, but the fact that it was moving so slow, and the extended exposure, it caused a lot of damage in South Florida for a Category 1 hurricane. But then once it entered the Gulf of Mexico, it got out over something we call the loop current. The loop current is some incredibly warm water that comes in from the Caribbean, and it's loaded with energy. And it passed over that loop current and got over that, all that energy, and just exploded in intensity all the way up to a Category 5. At one point, it had winds, between 170 and 175 mile an hour sustained. And the gusts are usually about 30% greater than that. So we had gusts well over 200 miles an hour in that storm at that time. And 18 hours before landfall, it was still a Category 5. But the water started to cool off as it got a little closer to the coast. Again, making landfall, on that early Sunday morning, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, came in at Buras, but it was only a Category 3, and I say only, still a major hurricane, but it was still packing a Category 5 storm surge that it had built up earlier in the Gulf, and that's what slammed into Mississippi, and then also got pushed into Lake Pontchartrain and then onto New Orleans.
It's funny how memories fade after 20 years. I thought it started as a wave off of Africa, and it did not. 8:51, we'll pick it up, Barry, when we come back, talk about how forecasting has changed since then. It's 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Barry Keim, who was Louisiana State climatologist when Katrina hit back in 2004. And I'm looking at a timeline here on 8:26 would have been the Friday. That's when I first noticed it kind of heading toward the west, and I called a sales guy in at about 3 in the afternoon and said, Friday afternoon, you might want to look at this because it doesn't seem to be going like they said it was going to go. Anyway, we know the rest is history. Barry, how has forecasting changed? Somebody texted in about Nash and his black marker. And look, I met Nash Roberts one time. He was an extremely nice man, a gentleman, extraordinaire, but tell me how forecasting has changed since the days of Nash and his black marker to Katrina to now.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Nash. Yeah, he was an interesting character, certainly much beloved across New Orleans. But forecasting has come a long way since then. Back then a lot of it was kind of off the seat of your pants. Mm-hmm. Now we have faster, more powerful computing. That really drives all of it. And, we have these models now that simulate the storm structure, the inner core dynamics, simulating the eye. And we also have, we have the hurricane hunting planes, and we also have hurricane hunting drones that we didn't even have during Katrina. And they do ensemble forecasting where, it used to be they would just do one run on a computer. Now they do many, many runs with very, very slight variations in the initial conditions, because it's hard to get those initial conditions exactly right. And the improvements have been dramatic just since Katrina's time. So 20 years, the two-day forecast, the error rate used to be about 300 miles. About 120 on the two-day forecast. It was about 120 miles. Now it's more like 60. So we pretty much cut that in half. And then the five-day forecast errors were about 300 miles. Now they're about 150. So that's a pretty big deal. And eventually, the hope is that we don't have a cone of error anymore. No more cone of uncertainty. It's just a straight line, and we know exactly where that storm's going to go. We're not there yet, but that cone is getting narrower and narrower. So, you know, improvements have been happening, and hopefully we'll keep that going.
AI is all about crunching numbers and scenarios rapidly. Is that playing a part in this?
Oh, absolutely. AI is playing a huge role in all of this. And I do think this could take us very far and get us a little closer to that straight line rather than a cone of uncertainty.
Awesome. Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it. What was it like for you? Real quick, we got 20 seconds left. Just tell me, were you surprised by the path of Katrina or not?
Say that again?
Were you surprised by it?
Oh, by the storm? Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the storm we had talked about for decades, and to have it actually happen is just amazing.
Thank you, Barry.
I'll just end with a go Chalmette Owls.
All right, there you go. All right, go Shaw Eagles. We'll take a break. We come back, we're going to talk about the LSU Tigers here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.